God, we are so fucking back. We're so back. This is unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, your Toronto Blue Jays. You had to know. We did it. We scared the ghost out of the room last time we posted a show. We got it all out. We did this before. We got it all out. We got everything we needed to say on the table. It was time to rebuild the relationship. And look at us now. Look at us now from the absolute depths of a sweep at the hands of the Texas Rangers. From the furthest of disbelief. And then the fake, like the borderline fake sweep of the Red Sox. Where you're like, okay, we've figured it out, right? What is the team that looks like it cares the least? It was hard to say anything than it, other than it looks like they don't care at all about anything. What could we possibly do to salve that wound? And the answer was two other teams that care even less this year in Boston and New York. And it couldn't be sweeter, right? It couldn't be sweeter. They almost fumble both of the Boston weekend games. The hit at the center fielder. And the giving it away in the ninth on Sunday, the back to back, like they swept them, but they scored 6 runs in 3 games. Ten runs in 3 games, less than the Rangers had scored in multiples of the games the series previous. They scored 10 runs twice in the previous series, 9 in one of the other 4 games. It still wasn't quite there. And then you go in and you end the season of the New York Yankees in New York. Again, though, Mike Stanton looks like his legs are made of sleeves of saltine crackers. So every swing, you're like, I can't believe this guy's running out there. And you know, we know Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a guy who likes to hit in New York, and he was the best hitter in the Red Sox series, and all of a sudden we talked about it at length and in not positive terms very recently, where it was like, if Vlad just does it, they're gonna win. And you end up having multiple games in the last week and a half where it is proven right, and this is gonna be the theme of this episode, that I feel the wave of, like, people, you know, you're sort of smugly able to be like, well, this is why you don't yada, 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 your sample sizes and your, you know, it's a long season. They give you all year long. And my answer to that is no, I only feel more vindicated. I only feel more correct for being mad at them earlier. Because as long as Vlad and Springer play well, they can't be touched. You think George Springer had the game of his life on Sunday. Bo Bichette looks healthy and back compared to where he was 10 days ago. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is hitting home runs on fastballs. Matt Chapman's still striking out a lot, but they're piecing it together. They got all the tools working. They have a pinch runner guy specialist. This is a playoff team. This is the team. After all that, after the Red Sox narrow, barely got through it, you're still detached and you're like, yeah, great, back to where we started. Like, Texas happens to get swept on that weekend. Astros suddenly can't beat the Royals. Rangers are now playing the Mariners. And I want the Mariners to be the one team that doesn't make the playoffs. No question. I want the Mariners to go away. That is my goal for the Seattle Mariners franchise, from my thoughts and worries. I'd like them to go away. I'd like them to not make the playoffs pretty strongly. That's obvious for me. Anyway. Yeah, they win and they beat the Yankees. And it feels really good. And it always feels good to beat the Yankees. And you're sort of suddenly allowed to ride up front a little bit because, again, the West is disintegrating. Something like 11 straight games go the Blue Jays' way over this six-game span. It's unbelievable. I think I saw today, I don't even know, James G maybe had it. 20-3 of the 23 games have gone the right way for them in terms of, like, the best-case scenario to win and lose. Then you go to the Trop, and it's the freaky ass Trop, right? Well, no, it's the Hound on the Mound. It's the Hound. It's the great pitching. It's the great defense. It's Dalton Varsho. It's the big thing. It's insurance runs from power. They're hitting home runs late in games and putting games away. It's finally happening. It's unbelievable. A great game from Bassett. And you go, man, Hicks and Romano, this is nasty. You do end up using Romano for 24 pitches to get four outs in a four-run game. But Hicks had, listen, it's the Aaron Hicks experience. Sometimes guys get on. That's just sort of what happens. The Dalton Varsho home run. Oh, truly amazing. In this huge sixth inning with the new strategy. The new, you want to outraise the Rays. Be the team that just doesn't swing with bases loaded. Going to be walks and walks and walks and hit by pitches. And the Blue Jays win this game on the strength of standing there. Matt Chapman hit by a pitch. Alejandro Kirk walked. All the bases loaded up into walks. Your advanced baseball savant ass pitching where it's like, you know, we're trying to get the pitching ninja gifts. And it's all the stuff. Oh, my God, the stuff. Yeah. A lot of it's moving off the plate. A lot of it's not worth swinging at. And you try to throw a two-seamer inside, it hits Matt Chapman. Away she goes. Blue Jays win. And you're starting to believe a little bit. And then game two, another reason to just have your heart ripped out. And I'll tell you, they lose game two. They sort of get Schneidered here at the end. Away she goes. You want your closer to get those outs, but they get Schneidered. Even though they lose this game, they fall behind 4-0 in the first. And I was sort of the, listen, I've been of the persuasion, it's been great to have Hyunjin Ryu back. And he's been well above my expectations. You can track that listening to this show. But also, like, I was like, every good start from Ryu is found money to me, right? Where it's like, it's not a real, you're like, I can't believe we got anything. I can't believe we got anything for him. And yet, you know, he's been pretty damn good. He got right under 3.5. I mean, I'm underselling it. And tons of fun to watch the mid-60s curveballs. But also, like, I think Hyunjin Ryu, for me, and listen, every sports broadcast and every rightfully, you're like, oh my God, this rotation, all these guys in this rotation. And I guess Manoa sort of flies in the face of, like, well, not everybody, but, like, you see the numbers they're putting up defensively, and a lot of it sort of the Kevin Kiermaier of it is, like, a lot of it looks really routine. And you're like, man, that's routine. You're like, I don't think we're realizing how hard some of these – obviously, there's been a ton of highlight reel stuff, but there's just, like, been no mistakes. There's been no didn't get to it or no, oh, that just split them. Like, the ball gets hit, and you're like, that's routine out. And it's because the guy is already running exactly where the ball is going, and he was running from the moment the ball was hit and before the camera switched. That's been a lot of the outs for this team this year. But, yeah, sort of feels like found money for Ryu. They go down 4-0 home runs. Just like, ah, shit, it's going to be home runs. Maybe, honestly, maybe a blessing in disguise that he, not that I thought they were going to, but sort of a guarantee to me that he's not going to be a guy that appears in a start in the postseason. But they come back. They battle back in the sixth inning, and it's the guys being the guys. And that's the thing that makes me feel so vindicated and good. George Springer, huge double. Sixth inning, starts to crack it open. Guerrero making nice at-bats, hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball back up the middle. He scores Springer, then Biggio, best player in baseball, doubles to right, and that scores Bichette. And your guy, Cam Eden, ends up tying this game up in the eighth when they're back to their old tricks, runners in scoring position, wild pitches, hit by pitches, walks. Couldn't be us. Couldn't be our bullpen and our catchers. Doesn't happen. And then again, another a walk. Whit Merrifield, just the spider catching himself more flies. Too easy. These Rays, they walk right into it. They can't help themselves. And listen, they blow this game. Don't. But I basically fine on Romano most of the time. This was one where they came out and they were like, he had a fingernail split, and he convinced them he was gonna pitch through it. There's a lefty-lefty matchup that ends this game. The game-winning hit is one of the many guys with the same name pronounced differently on the Tampa Bay Rays. A guy who doesn't hit lefties very well is a lefty, yada, yada, yada. They don't go to Meza. But Meza is up and warm. That's the part that's annoying. And that's the part where you get into like the manager questioning. Which is like, if the goal was to let Romano work out of this, then why was he ever up? Why is he ever in the game? What's he hot for? Makes no sense. He's hot for the next inning? That doesn't make any sense. This is the one way or the other, right? Anyway, it doesn't go well, but to me, it felt like they had tapped into the identity. They had sort of solved it a little bit. And I was like, this team has, this is the real heart. This is the real give a shit. This is the real want. And in the meantime, in the background, quietly, this Rays team's falling apart. Rosarena is out of this game. Lowe ends up leaving. I think he's injured. They have the pedophile. That's not on their roster. And then there's Sunday. 9-5. What a way to make a living. How can you not talk about George Springer? They give up another. They once again fall behind in the first. And with what has plagued this team, rightfully a lot of people are like, well, two runs in the first inning. I remember the talk of the summer. They're dead. But hasn't been the talk of the last little bit. Hasn't been the talk if you're paying attention in September, frankly, except for Texas. They immediately get it back. It's Whit Merrifield, who is not afraid of the trap. And then George Springer, game of his life, legacy game as a Blue Jay. You have to admit, comes up big for this team. He had that amazing catch earlier on in his tenure. That was like a huge catch for the playoff push they were in right center field when he went back when he was playing center. Anyway, inside the park, home run to center field, absolutely busting it, cracks the game open. It's 5-2. And again, so I don't want to say typical, but like as the Rays do, you're never like, okay, now we cruise. And Kikuchi, another guy where it's like, it's been good. We'll see. Would like to have Manoah. But they chip away. And again, Vlad keeps them a step ahead in the sixth. Makes it 6-3 instead of 5-3. Very important because Paredes, very next, bottom of the seventh. Boom. There's the thing that the Rays always do. They always claw back. They always, if not for the Vlad homer, very important. And then again, they seal it. Unbelievable. Varsho makes a big play with the triple. And guess who? Guess who? We're here. Ninth inning. Division rival. Not playoff spot on the line, but playoff spot sort of on the line. Bichette, Guerrero, back-to-back home runs. It's over. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, it feels so good. It feels so good to know, right? It feels so good to know and to feel and to watch. I'm fired up. I think this is sort of a dream scenario. Dream scenario. The guys are being the guys, and it's happening down the stretch. And you're honestly, you're getting the rotating cast. And we were very hard on this show on the extras slot, right? That you basically call it the second base thing, but they've done a great job. It's been four different guys now that have. Merrifield had a month where he carried them. Schneider had a month where he carried them, more or less. Biggio has had a month where he carried them. Chapman had a month. Like they've had the guys, and then everybody else. Everybody's taken their turn, right? Basically everybody except for Varsho, but he's been the best defensive outfielder in baseball. Everybody sort of had their turn. Jano carried them for a little bit, and now Kirk is carrying them. He's playing behind the dish every single day. You got to respect it. Now you're having a little, man, if Springer and Guerrero both carry them now. Carry them. It's a dream. 87 and 69. They're going to have a chance. What a world. What a world, man. What a world. 87 and 69. They got six games left. They could win 93 games. We could be sitting here dead right. Exactly how good we thought they would be. And they did it to us again, right? They was week in, week out. I can't believe this is the way it's going. And then right at the end. But again, I will once again say, like, still going to be a wild card too. It's still going to be a probably a third best team in the AL. And boy, a couple wins here and there against Baltimore this season. You start to think, man, this, right? They are exactly as good as we thought they were. It's clicking. It's clicking, and it's beautiful to see. And I want the. Let me say. I'll say it. There's been a lot of like, oh, you want a tank for WC2? Not me. I want the Rays. I think right now is a team. And listen, I know all the reasons that you'd be scared off of that. I understand. I'm looking at a team riddled. I'm really in a team that's falling. And listen, again, oh, they always get past. Yandy Diaz is pulled from the game on Sunday. Randy Rosarena is not in the lineup Sunday. Brandon Lau, I said 4 to 6 weeks, fractured right kneecap, gone. Siri, fractured hand. Baz out. Wander Franco, pedophile. Shane McClanahan out. Drew Rasmussen out. This is a lot of very good players not available. We'll see about a Rosarena and Diaz. Obviously, keys to their team, but I'm not afraid of the Trop. I'm not afraid of the Trop right now. Kevin Kiermaier is the garlic necklace. He is the amulet that we wear into the cave of the dragon. He is the Trop mojo. He is the differences in this weekend. The George Springer inside the park home run. Tampa Bay center fielder doesn't make the play. It's sweet. It's sweet. I feel the same way about the outfield defense as I do some of those National League games, some of those games against really bad teams in the last little stretch where the team just doesn't have a catcher. And they're like we saw this weekend, they're giving away, pass balls to score runs. There's horrible guys are just stabbing at balls and the makes the pitcher not confident to throw in the dirt. That's when I sort of appreciate. It's like, man, we've seen a really high caliber behind the plate this year. We really have. There's been almost no hijinks back there. And you got guys throwing 103 with movement. It's pretty impressive. When you see things like the center fielder crashes into the wall and rolls over and the guy doesn't get over and get it, got Kevin Kiermaier and Dalton Varsho. It's good living. As long as I'm not the personal offense that I take seeing Whit Merrifield and left, notwithstanding. It's a sweet thing, and I thought that was highlighted this week, and Kevin Kiermaier is why I fear no evil. I fear no Tropicana Field with Kevin Kiermaier on my team. I feel good about it. I feel happy. Nobody, who knows, I feel better. Let me ask you that. Who knows the center field better at Tropicana Field? Kevin Kiermaier or Manuel Margot or Raimel Tapia? Who would you rather have in center field in that stadium? You'd rather have Kevin Kiermaier. Manuel Margot's played there for a long time. Kevin Kiermaier built that arena. His whole family was grown with him playing center field in that team. I think it looks good. I think it feels fucking great. I think I had a great week watching this team. Some losses, right? Lost the last game against the Yankees. Sort of felt inevitable. Sort of felt like we weren't going to sweep this team. Happy with how the week went. Really thrilled. Really thrilled with how the rest of the West has gone. And of course, it's Gerrit Cole. Happy to beat him. Where do we land now? Jays can clinch Wednesday, I'm told, by people smarter than me that want to do the math. Wednesday gets them to 90 wins. What are they, 89 wins? Yeah, Wednesday gets them to 89 wins if they win both. But I think other teams play enough games that, because they play each other enough times, they won't be able to get to 90 by then. So 3 at home against New York, 3 at home against Tampa Bay, 7 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday against the Stankies, 7 Friday against Tampa Bay, and then 3-3 Saturday and Sunday to close out the GD season. And look, obviously, the difference in tone here versus the difference in tone Texas is the paramount reason to not think 10 games into the future. Although we did sort of say, like, isn't the most obvious thing that happens now is this team does rattle off What appears to be, to my uncounting eye here, 7-2. Yeah, it is pretty Blue Jays to do that. But we're here now. And again, the only knocks, I looked at it, there's long-term consistent things and there are short-term volatile things. Long-term consistency has been the defense. Long-term consistency has been the ability to steal outs, to make plays, to really be excellent on the other side of the ball. Run prevention, as they like to call it. The volatile short-term thing is clutch hitting. It just has been. And it's on. If you're going to, you ask me, you get to pick, you know, a small collection of days for it to be up. I would probably pick these ones. They haven't really gone on a big losing streak this year. To all the alternative of how pessimistic I was, and we talked about, there hasn't been a guy who just goes on a tear. They haven't really gone on a big tear, and this probably does count as a tear to me, even though it's two losses. They're just sort of the caliber of play has clearly taken a step up. They haven't really lost because the consistency of the defense, because the consistency to, you know, they've gone cold. And it's been, oh man, they won this game 2-1, or oh, they won 2-0, or oh, it's, you know, they lose 3, like there was a lot of that, losing 3-1, winning 3-2, there's a lot of that this year. But the volatility is in the timing of the hits, and they timed them out really well this week. They capitalized on some big moments in that New York series, and in Tropicana, where chaos reigns, they went eye to eye to me with Tampa Bay. And in those games, what it has always been, and always the way it goes in Tampa Bay, is you, which team blinks, which team makes the stupid mistake, which team does the dumb thing. On Saturday, it was the Jays with the pitching. On Sunday, Tampa Bay. And on Friday, Tampa Bay as well. Tampa Bay made some base running mistakes. Tampa Bay made some decision mistakes. Tampa Bay out-talented in some situations. The Jays played a good game, played clean. Been playing clean. That's the real thing. That was what they lost against Texas, right? They didn't play clean at all. Let's take a look at some of the runs against since we talked last. 0 in the first game against Boston. 3 in a 13-inning game on Saturday. 2 on Sunday against Boston. Then 1-1 against New York. 5 in the finale. So 7 in 3 games there. Nothing wrong with that. To Tampa, 6-2 and then 7-6, the rough one. And then 9-5 in the end. So they give up some runs, right? They give up 14 runs in 3 games there. Giving up some runs to Tampa, but really shut down New York. There will be some ghosts. I'm getting fades of some ghosts of 2021 where New York came into the Rogers Center and put that hammer down and ended the hopes of sneaking into the playoffs in the back door. But Seattle swept, unfortunately, by the Texas Rangers. Houston and Texas, the last 6 for Seattle, which of course means for the Astros that playing Seattle is 3 of the final 6 games of their season, along with playing Arizona at the very end. Houston just cannot. Houston. Really quite funny. Houston cannot make it happen. Truly rough. And then, yeah, your Rangers, your Texas Rangers, sort of the team that we're seeing jockeying with most closely, 3 against the Angels before they head to Seattle. One last look at the standings. The Blue Jays now, as we go to bed on Sunday night, 2 games up on the Astros plus the tiebreaker there. So that feels pretty good. Seattle a half game back of that. So 2.5 back is Seattle. And I didn't mention them, which of course means Texas Rangers 2.5 games up now in the West. The other possible flip would be Minnesota passing Houston, but I don't think that is going to happen. The Blue Jays 87-69, like I said, 90-plus wins right there. You go 590 wins, so it is. And speaking of 90 wins, Minnesota Twins, 83-73, already a week to go, clinched, No worries. Can rest. Doesn't really matter. Fucking shoot me. Bullshit. Such bullshit. Pretty exciting. Like I said, at home for the last six, three against the Yankees, three against the Rays. And, you know, I spoke with some real confidence about the WBC too. I do still think that is where I would want to be. And I'm sort of treating it now as the most likely. I guess the other thing, the other possibility is Houston continuing to fall out. And I know the conventional wisdom is that as the casual, impartial fan, you want Seattle in that spot over Houston. I do not want that. I do not want that. I'm so desensitized to Houston's success that it means nothing to me. The newfound, nouveau riche Seattle success, I don't like nearly as much. Don't know what to tell you. Bothers me a lot more. It really does. Maybe it's the handful of low points that they've handled this franchise. Maybe it's the, you know, thinking about how they pissed away that tiebreaker and where they might be this year and the embarrassment of last year. Everyone's so certain. Anyway, we're moving on. We're not talking about the Mariners. Playoff teams only. Anyway, that is it. I had to jump on. Didn't even tell Jake I was doing this. We'll get back. I'm going to try to drag him back in. I think he's pretty excited. Jake is obviously also clearly where I am, which is that this team is winning the World Series. And I get it. Last episode, it was like, I don't even want to watch baseball anymore, I don't think. Like, we were like, oh man, October 5th, what TV show are you going to start binging? What are we, you know what I mean? What's the winter looking like on your end? A week from now, I expect to be gearing up for some playoff baseball. And I expect that to be heading to the trot. I really do. We will see how it goes, how hard I eat those words. But it's Blue Jays, Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays. We'll talk to you later on. I might try to pull Jake in on Monday evening. And if not, I will release this publicly instead. All right, that is it. I'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jake.